Welcome to the No Fungi, No Future podcast. In these episodes, we interview experts in the field to gain a deeper understanding of the magical and mysterious networks of mycelia that are all around us, to learn how they impact our lives and the planet. In this episode, we have the second part of our interview with Germaine Yong. Germaine is lead scientist at Amyli, a company building Southeast Asia's largest multi-ethnic gut microbiome database. In this episode, we talk about nutrition strategies for microbiome health, as well as Amyli's history and its newly announced partnership with Sempera Organics. And also, I was wondering, since you're immersed in this field and, basically for a couple of decades, but also someone who loves food, I'm wondering how that's affected your personal choice in food. And what foods do you eat? Are there any nutrients you particularly try to get on a regular basis, and why?
So I would say that maybe let me not start with what I typically eat. And I'll tell you an interesting story about what I once tried to do and realized how challenging it is. And I'll take that from there.
Sure.
That shaped the way I eat now.
Sure.
So since I've been involved in this field, I've always been very interested in how we can actually change our lifestyle and diet to actually better feed our gut microbiome.
Mm-hmm.
And there was once this, it's called the 30 day 30 challenge. And what it means is that for 30 days,
mm-hmm.
you try to eat at least 30 plant-based foods or food groups in your diet. So, naturally, vegetables would count, but even things like drinking a cup of coffee uh-huh. being plant
right.
origin would
right.
count as well.
Right.
And to be honest, when I tried doing that 30-day challenge, it was incredibly hard.
Really?
Even in Asia.
So each day had to be a different.
So it'd be 30 diverse foods.
Diverse, yeah.
If you had coffee and tea, would count as two.
Right.
And then if you had your veggies,
yeah.
The easiest way to hit the 30 would be to have like a grain bowl or a salad bowl, which naturally in California
yeah.
is a lot easier.
Yeah.
Realize unless you eat salads for your meal in Singapore, it's
uh-huh.
really hard.
Wow.
In Singapore, actually, a lot of people tend to eat cooked leafy greens.
Yeah.
And naturally, leafy green stir fries in Singapore, at least, they don't necessarily have 5 to 6 different veggies in one dish. So
yeah.
I actually found it a lot harder to do in Singapore than to do it when I was living in California during
yeah.
my training and study days.
Yeah.
So that being said, I did finish that challenge. It was hard.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say moving forward, the way that I sort of see the way I prioritize my food and nutrients is really to eat diversely. I know
mm-hmm.
that sounds kind of abstract as a concept, and trying to do that 30-day challenge was me trying to
yeah
make it a little bit more methodological.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I found it really challenging. I would say really just eating by the plate method. Does the US
yeah.
call it the plate method?
Follow is a different story.
Oh, okay.
but we know about
okay.
the plate. Yeah, 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 yeah.
So I would say like just eating by the plate method and
yeah.
making sure that half of the plate that's filled with fruits and vegetables is
yeah.
actually as colorful as possible.
Yeah.
So
why is it that diversity in food is good for you? What does that do for the gut bacteria?
So generally in the field of the gut microbiome,
mm-hmm.
in a typical healthy adult, the more diverse the gut is,
mm-hmm.
it's typically a biomarker of health.
Mm-hmm.
And for that reason, because microbes have various different, they have different adaptations
mm-hmm.
to actually creating a niche for them to thrive and survive.
Mm-hmm.
Actually supplying the microbes in your gut with a diversity of nutritional substrates
mm-hmm.
is more likely than to actually promote increased diversity in your
mm-hmm.
gut. And that's actually why it's important.
Yeah.
And generally, the more diversity there is in the gut,
uh-huh.
That's better for health, because that essentially creates a redundancy in function.
Okay.
And generally we are thinking of beneficial functions.
Yes.
Which would then enable you to better harvest the nutrients from your body,
yeah.
From your diet, excuse me, and also really have, like I said, redundancies in important functions that keep your gut healthy.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Thank you. And I was wondering also about Amyli. How did Amyli get started? What was the need that was kind of seen? And, how were investors and others convinced of the vision of Amyli? Can you talk a bit about that?
Amyli actually started, Amyli actually started formally in 2019.
Uh-huh.
So we're actually turning 5 this month,
okay.
September. Prior to our formal conception,
mm-hmm.
back then in Singapore, Emily's co-founders actually were the first in Singapore to perform a fecal microbiota transplant.
Mm-hmm.
That really speaks to Emily's roots. So
mm-hmm.
it was then, and naturally, as expected, the FMT went incredibly. It was a clinical success, which is also, I guess, what inspired Emily's conception down the street.
Yeah.
And that first FMT was actually performed 10 years ago. So Emily's only five, so clearly there was a five-year gap.
Yeah.
And what that indicated was basically that the ecosystem was, during that time, not ready, I guess, to essentially accept that, you know, something like poo could actually
mm-hmm.
be that clinically useful.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What that concept, you know, I think is a lot more mature in other parts of the world. In Asia, it was really nascent.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that sort of was really what inspired our co-founders to start Emily, was to create Southeast Asia's first, and in fact, right now, it's still the only FMT biobank,
mm-hmm.
Whereby we supply essentially fecal microbiota preparations
mm-hmm.
for clinical indications.
Mm-hmm.
And then that sort of has actually then expanded in Emily to, naturally, if you're interested in gut health, then another angle from a clinical point of view would be then to be able to appropriately diagnose whether or not your gut is in a healthy or unhealthy state.
Yeah.
And then how do you then necessarily keep it in that state? So that's sort of what has led to the evolution of us then first starting out as an FMT biobank,
mm-hmm.
Moving on to then develop diagnostics and complementary probiotics that are tailored to specifically the Asian microbiome.
Yeah.
And that really was the second piece of work that has really taken shape over the second and third year of Emily's existence.
Right.
And then from the third year on, that was really when we realized, you know, yes, you can diagnose,
mm-hmm.
you can get an indication, and you can also naturally supplement with probiotics.
Yeah.
But good gut microbes only hang around if you actually give them the necessary selective pressures. And
right.
when we think of selective pressures, we think of how can you actually do that from a lifestyle point of view.
Mm-hmm.
And naturally, the lowest hanging fruit for us was really how do you then use diet as a lever?
Yeah.
Keeping the good gut microbes around in the gut and to promote good gut microbiome health.
Yeah.
That was what actually then led to the evolution of what we call in Emily Food for Health.
Mm-hmm.
And really Food for Health as a team, what we focus on a lot is trying to work with various both private as well as public research institutions
mm-hmm.
where we try to get a better handle on specifically what gut microbes are going to be impacted by a specific food.
Yeah.
And that then informs how we can develop better foods, functional foods or nutraceuticals that can then improve gut health.
Right.
And then the very last piece of sort of how Emily is really moving forward in is
yeah.
naturally with all of the different avenues of work that we do, one core central tenet in it has also been to build the world's largest multi-ethnic Asian gut microbiome database.
Right.
And with that database, there has then been a lot of insight and interest that has really fueled the next generation of work that we are working on now.
Yeah.
Really trying to leverage that rich insight from that database of multi-ethnic Asians
uh-huh.
To inform the way in which we develop microbiome-mediated solutions to improve human health.
Yeah.
So that piece of work really has Emily starting to work with various larger companies that are particularly interested in the gut microbiome.
Right. And coming to Sempera Organics and Emily, I know that there's a partnership being formed. Can you talk a bit about what kind of research you'll be doing with Sempera's formulations?
Yeah, absolutely. So with Sempera, what we are trying to achieve really falls into that food for health space as
yeah.
we spoke about.
Yeah.
And really the question that I think drives this collaborative partnership is there a better way to feed the microbes that are in your gut? And Sempera being an expert in various forms of mushrooms,
mm-hmm.
Mushrooms really are a big part of the Asian diet,
mm-hmm.
and they play a big part also in traditional medicine in the entire region. So
yeah.
I think first and foremost, what we are trying to understand is how Sempera's proprietary mushroom blends actually impact the gut microbiome in Asia
yeah.
Using various lab-based models first.
Yeah.
And then with that, I think really some potential synergies that we see with this partnership is if the results prove to be promising, which we hypothesize and are quite confident will be,
right.
Then that leads to opening up avenues by which we can then incorporate Zampera's mushroom blends into various products that we develop, as well as even potentially the probiotic offerings that we carry that are tailored to Asians. Because right now, the probiotics that we offer, they are actually symbiotics in a technical term, because they contain both pre-pro as well as postbiotics.
Mm-hmm.
But the prebiotics that we currently deal with are sort of what I tend to call vanilla flavored. So they aren't necessarily specifically, they work for universally accepted probiotics.
Okay.
But then you want to sort of increase that specificity towards an Asian angle, that would be a very nice fit between the work that we're currently doing with Zampera.
We hope you enjoyed this episode featuring our conversation with Jermaine Yong. Be sure to look out for our next episode coming out soon, where we will continue this conversation. Until then, be sure to get some healthy mushrooms into your diet. Also, please take a moment to like and subscribe to our channel and drop us any comments. Your feedback is most welcome. Thanks for listening.